The Stateside Soccer Show, talking the beautiful game in the land of the free. Breaking down Major League Soccer, US Men's National Team, and more with Logan and Jordan.
Hello and welcome to Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you, Logan?
Besides banging the pots and pans together. Oh, man.
We're celebrating the eclipse.
We are. Jordan, I can't see you. I looked at the sun for too long today. And now
That was my joke.
Oh, sorry. Well, I took it from you, but I hope everybody out there can still see. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you don't want to see your team play. I thought about looking at the sun because Orlando City plays this weekend. So.
Yeah, Were they a team that didn't play last week? Were they the team?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a great break from the chaos that's been here. So,
yeah. It should be fun. These games coming up here. What is this? Match day 8 we just had. Match day 9 coming up. It's crazy to think we're already like two. Well, how are we at week 8? I know yeah. 1-2 was like a 1-2 was a like 3-day thing, right? Because it was the Wednesday game and then the Saturday games, but like it started end of February. Like, how are we already? It hasn't been 2 months. Was there another midweek?
No, I think match day is technically match day, like days that matches are played is how they count those. In Miami, like I think if you look at Miami, that gives it away as to like how many match days we're in. It's definitely match day 8 because we went for match day 7 last
Thumbnail. Yeah, I know. But I'm like, the only time we doubled up, I think the only time they doubled up is the first week, right? They had Wednesday and then they had Saturday, Sunday, and they don't count Saturday and Sunday differently. We found that out. So we had Wednesday. So that was match day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. There you go. Well, it's been 8 weeks or 7 weeks. It's been 7 weeks, you know, but because we had that double up.
Can we just stop calling them that? Can we just call them just weeks?
No, that's something they have to do for the Euro fans. They have to be called match days.
Fair enough, I guess.
All right, so what we have going on today is some big results that happened over the weekend. Messi returned for Miami. We had an El Tráfico. We had two teams jumped to the top of the East that maybe people didn't think were going to be top of the East. Seattle got back on track. Vancouver beat the other Canadian side in Toronto. Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting week of matches. I want to share some feedback we got via email from our friend Andrew. He said the Fire are so back. They won. All right. Where do they currently sit? Where do they currently sit in the standings here? The Fire, they sit 10th, right outside of a playoff spot. So if you want to call that back, that would track because they usually miss the playoffs. So
they haven't been extinguished yet. Yes. I guess like it's they're kind of like a wildfire. Like they go one direction.
Yeah, we're still, we can't put it out yet. Let's start with Messi returning, right? That's what everybody, the sentiment I see on Twitter is that everybody loves when everybody's just talking Messi and Miami the whole time. So we're going to kick off with that. So they didn't get the win, but they do draw with the Colorado Rapids. It's hard to believe that Messi's been out for like a month at this point, but he came in the second half, scored a goal and an assist to help them get to a 2-2 draw against the Colorado Rapids. They were down 1-0 at the time that Messi came in to equalize at 58th minute. And then 2 minutes later, they had a go-ahead goal. And then Cole Bassett equalized in the 90-plus minute to seal a pretty... I think we'd be talking about this more if Messi and Miami had won the game. You know, coming in, making that, I know people are talking about it. Oh, he came in. Look at, this is what Miami is when they have Messi. And that's kind of like the big difference maker. But I really feel like, you know, Rapids really spoiled that with their 90th plus minute win. A draw felt like a win for them, I'm sure, after how long they were behind. But I guess any thoughts here on who do you want to focus on right now? Messi in Miami or Rapids?
I think the first one, I guess, talking about Miami, just because they sat all four of their big star players. Suarez, Busquets, Alba, and Messi were on the bench for this match. And they lost Leonardo Campana to an injury. He came off. I think just highlighting the fact that it seems like this Miami team just doesn't know how to stay healthy. Like, I mean, that's going to happen when you've got older players. They're going to have muscle injuries, and muscle injuries are the worst injuries in soccer just because they linger. Pretty sure this is the similar kind of injury that Messi was kind of hampered with last season. That, I mean, eventually, Jordan, it just became like this. Is Messi playing? No. Is Messi playing? No. Is Messi playing? Nope. So, I don't know. If I'm an Inter Miami fan, I'm either hoping that they're healthy enough to where we either win CONCACAF Champions Cup or Leagues Cup, because I'm just afraid that this team is going to have a hard time staying healthy to MLS Cup. Like, I just don't know if they've got – they just don't have the roster build that would, you know, be able to sustain injuries. And it keeps happening, and people are like, you know, they built all this depth, but that depth quickly runs out when you got four of your players sitting on the bench. So – again, I think highlighting the fact that, like, this is a good win, or sorry, not a good win. This is a good point to pick up, just because I felt like the Rapids had control of the match until Messi shows up. So again, I think it's a good point, but I really think that this team it's good when it's able to put all of its players out there, but that's not going to be very, very frequent this year, I think.
I think they'll be fine. I really do. If Messi's able to play like this, I think they'll be good. I think they'll manage him correctly. I think they will make the playoffs, and that should be the main goal. So you can try to focus on CCC a bit maybe right now, but then I think Leagues Cup, you can kind of... I know they're going to get a lot of probably interest and speculation about that because they won it last year and because they will be playing Liga MX teams and stuff. But I feel like that would be the one to kind of like reset, get Messi healthy, get whoever needs to be healthy, and then roll into the last half of the year where you try to make the playoffs and then make a run in the playoffs. So we'll see.
The Rapids look good though. They've kind of bounced back from a pretty rough start. I think they've had a decent run of form. I think the Rapids essentially are just going to be a team that we don't really know what they're going to offer us completely until middle of the season. Because I think there's just so many moving parts and pieces with the Rapids. If Cole Bassett plays like he's been playing and you get the combination between Mihailovic and Sam Vines and you know, players like that, I think that you're going to have a solid run. As far as the Rapids are concerned. And if they add another player in that is more of an attacking front, a forward that I think could, you know, bag goals frequently, I think this team becomes pretty, a pretty big contender in the Western Conference, especially with some of the teams that have struggled early on in the Western Conference. So,
yeah, I'm still not fully convinced on the Rapids. I mean, look, they're in a good spot right now. They're in a playoff spot, 9 points. They're literally 3 points off of second, right? So we're talking about one more result going their way, and we'd be talking about them like they were the Galaxy at this point. Really, for me right now, when I look at the West, I really only see Vancouver and the LA teams as being really impressive. Minnesota's kind of fallen a bit recently. Like LAFC winning the El Trafico was a good rebound for them, right? Like, I guess we can transition to that game because that's next on our lists here. So LAFC win 2-1 over the Galaxy, but really their win comes from a moment of controversy, right? That this penalty that went to VAR, they come back from VAR, he still keeps the call of penalty. I watched this a few times. I don't know if it's because I was watching on my phone or something. One angle looks really like barely any contact, but the back angle, unless if I'm seeing it wrong, does look like he gets them. I don't know. What was your thoughts on the, sorry, my mistiming asking you there while you're taking a sip. What was your thoughts on the penalty? Penalty or no penalty? I'm going to try to find it again. I'm going to try to find it again to watch again.
Yeah, none at all. I don't think it was a penalty at all. The contact's created because he goes outside of his body, drags his right foot, Bawanga does. And Yamane, I thought, was very cautious in the way that he was able to try to slide in the box, because I felt like he thought, okay, well, I can't make contact with him, but I can kind of create this awkward angle for him to have to go out and around me, and then by then he can't get a shot off. And I thought it was decent defending by Yamane. It's just Bawanga sticks his right foot. Like, the thing that's weird to me, and I thought initially it was like, oh no, he made contact with him with the angle from behind, and he does, but it's because Bawanga drags his right foot outside of the body, and you can't take your leg outside of a natural running position and drag it, which is why I thought it was very strange, because I thought it was pretty clear and obvious that he gets that right foot too far out, because it's not a natural running motion that he would have gone that far out of his way to get the ball that's going to the left. Like, he's going left with the ball and his right foot's going that way. And it's like, well, that's not a natural motion that somebody would have taken. And he drags his foot. That's the biggest thing for me, is when you delay your foot like that, looking for contact, that's not a natural motion. And it's not a motion that you would normally do. And I think that would ultimately null and void the VAR decision. Just because it didn't make sense to me. It was like, I thought it was pretty obvious that he goes out of a natural running motion to try to draw that contact. And he does. But ultimately, I thought it was a very, very weak penalty to give, especially in this moment, because second half sucked, but that first half was entertaining. And I think gets caught up a little bit in the emotion of what's going on there. So also, Jordan, I always wonder this too, like when you have referees that go to VAR, there's gotta be a natural, I don't know, there's gotta be like a natural inclination to like want to agree with your call on the field. Like, I get that they're supposed to be objective, but like, the human instinct is to go with what your gut initially thought. And I think sometimes VAR do that and ultimately decide on that. I wouldn't say it's very frequently, but I mean, they're all human. We're all human. We go after what we thought was the right call in the first, split second that we saw it. But I don't know. This was a strange one to me. I thought this was an awful call.
I just watched it a few more times. I guess I can kind of see what you're talking about, that he like slows down a bit and maybe waits for contact. But I don't know. I don't think it's egregious the way a lot of people are saying it's egregious. Maybe that's just me, but I would say that, is he certainly looking for it? Yeah, but a lot of players will go down or try to time that right. I really don't think you should be slide tackling like that in the box that much, though, either. Like, I just feel like, for me, I'm always thinking, do I want to put the ref in a position to make a call here? Now, of course, like we said, we have VAR now. So, of course, the VAR ref's like, dude, you got this wrong. Take another look at it. And I'm guessing he looked at it and just kept saying, no, he takes him out. Like, he probably wasn't looking at it as the other the other side of things, I guess, of that. But I don't know. I do think, I feel like I would be more inclined if I was a ref to change it. And it would always be because if that guy's talking in my ear saying, you want to have another look at this, then I think I'm going back with the mentality of there's something I missed here. And I'd be going back and looking at it more and probably be like, okay. And I feel like then I'm like, if this guy's telling me I should change it or like to have another look at it, then he probably thinks I should change it. And it's going to put that seed in my mind of I'm going to change. Like, I feel like it should be the opposite, right? Like, I know there are some times where they go and they might look at it and say, no, I was right the whole time, you know, like, whatever. But in my opinion, if it was me, I feel like the statistics should show that they more likely than not change it, just because I feel like it would put it in your head. It's like if I like dropped a hint to you about something, Logan, and that like colored your perspective on it, you know, a bit. And maybe that's why my reaction to this goal or this call is different than a lot of other people's. Is I saw the tweets first about how bad of a call this was, that when I went and looked at it, it colored my perspective on what I was watching. So when I watch it, I was like, oh, to me, that's actually not as bad. So, but maybe if I watched it without hearing anything, I might have been like, oh, that's a bad call. You know, like sometimes these things can color your perspective on things just from what people say. And I would think, if I was the actual ref, if somebody's saying, hey, go look at something, I would probably think in my mind like, oh, I effed up already, you know, and I'd walk over to the monitor like, what did I eff up, and be like, all right, yeah, let's no penalty.
Like, I want to know what these conversations are like too, because I imagine the VAR conversation goes, yeah, let me check with the assistant referee and see what they think. And I imagine the conversation goes, yeah, you might want to take a look. That would be, you know, like, I used to do this also when I taught, like, you'd be, you know, when it was like it was a graded assignment, but it wasn't necessarily serious, like a quiz or a test. And the kid would say something and you go, are you sure? Like, I might think of it like more like this. And you give them kind of that rope of like, hey, you know, it, you're not far off, but here, go take a look at this part of the actual text. It just seems like that's what this was like. It just seems like the assistant referee would be down in the guy's ear saying, yeah, you might want to go take a look. How as a referee do you look at that and go, oh, I must have been right, but he just wants me to look at it again? Like, you know, and it's a weird element to me. It never,
the thing is, penalties are so subjective.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's why we'll see, like, I really do wish we had stats on like your opinion of that they would double down, right? That they double down.
Yeah.
Because most of the ones that I think get overturned the most are probably offside, something that is more clear, right? So they go and look and are like, oh yeah,
handball,
offsides. Yeah. Thanks for telling me, Jim. But what they're
handball.
Yeah. Handball. Yeah. When you get called to look at a penalty, the thing is, another ref would not call that a penalty, but guess what? You happen to have that center ref who did call it a penalty. And ultimately, they are the ones. There's no, like, this is the tricky thing about penalties. There's really no language in the laws that say flat out what a penalty is. Fouls can be subjective. The punishment of a foul can be subjective. I'm going to give a yellow. Oh, you're already on one? You're gone. Like, there is things in our game here that are very, very subjective that it's hard to say, like, look at this and say, no, that is definitely not a penalty and he should be gone. Like, it, really, whatever the ref says is a penalty is a penalty. Even if VAR tells him, he can say, like you said, like, he can go over there and just be like, no, I saw what I saw. I'm seeing it again on the TV. I'm calling penalty, and that's it. And that's just something we kind of have to come to terms with this game, right? Like, this is probably the sport that has the biggest subjective calls when it that can have the greatest consequences. You can literally almost gift a goal by saying, here it is, shoot it from 12 yards out. Baseball, like, subjective calls are strikes and balls, right? Like, you have a guideline, the ref can call, I mean, the ump can call strike or ball, but ultimately that doesn't swing the game as much as pointing to the spot for a penalty. And unfortunately for LA Galaxy, people will think they got screwed on this, and it just, you know, it is what it is at this point. They ended up losing this game. And they're still sitting above LAFC in the standings.
I love this quote from Greg Vanney. as one does when one loses. The referee couldn't find his yellow cards for a hell of a long time. So it just plays into their hands. I'll say it over and over again. In this league, if referees don't call fouls, the teams that have the ball are going to lose a lot in these games. It is what it is. The standard of penalty call was not the standard of the foul for the whole game, but we made mistakes. We didn't play great. We didn't find the right shape at the beginning of the game, blah, yada, yada. I love Jordan when they do this because it's like, the refs suck, but we also didn't play very well. you can have it both ways, but you can't really have it both ways. Like, you can't go and complain about the refs being the reason why you lose and then say your team's the reason why you lose.
You can a bit. I mean, like, what I can say is, like, when it's a call like a penalty, you can be like, well, it was 1-1. That changed everything in the match at that point. Changes the whole trajectory of the game, giving them a penalty here. But I can kind of see Greg's point too. If he says, you know, the standard of what the penalty was is not what the fouls were before. That I would have a bigger issue with the ref than just the penalty itself, right? The fact that it was inconsistent, of almost like treating the penalty areas totally different, right? Like, I think we see this a lot with refs, where they will let play go on the field for a long time, like he said, and not get the yellows out. And then what happens is something happens in the box and they immediately call a penalty. They're holding that box as more important than any sort of fouls off outside of the box. And that is the frustration, because it's inconsistent, right? Like, if he had been calling this a foul the whole time, then I think it would be harder to say he had it wrong. But if he's keeping that card in his pocket and not calling fouls in the middle of the field like this, then when it gets into the penalty box, you're just treating it totally different. And that's not the way that it should be reffed, in my opinion.
Yeah. But I think refs are always hypersensitive to the box. Like, the box is ultimately, I know, but like, that's ultimately what's always going to happen. And like you said, it shouldn't be that way, but you're going to be more hyper-focused on the contact that happens. Like, for instance, like Matt Miazga pulling a guy down, stupidly, but pulling a guy down, or, you know, it just seems like, I don't know, like, it seems that refs are going to be more alert of things going on as far as just the simplest of things, whereas in the middle of the pitch they play an advantage and you go on, like, you're not playing advantages in the box. An advantage in the box is a penalty. So I think it's tough. Like, refereeing is super tough. It happens in a split second. Fans get pissed and calls are missed. It's the human nature of the game. It's the human element of the game. But like, to think that it ultimately changed the way that the Galaxy could have played a better game. In the second half, they didn't do anything. They really didn't create much outside of the one goal. So to blame the refs in any kind of way, because it wasn't just the penalty he goes after the fouls, it was a physical game. It's just the one call that went the other way was for LAFC, and you can't do that. Like, you can't just, I feel like the blame was put on, oh, well, the whole game he's not calling his fouls. Well, yeah, but again, it's in the box, and it was a question. It was close. Like, I thought it was pretty close, but I don't know. I guess you can argue any kind of ways that you want, because
I could argue and just say, well, yeah, they didn't do much in the second half, but LAFC is playing totally different because they have a lead now. So, that's, I mean, true. It's like,
no,
you know, you can just go back and forth on that stuff the whole time.
Yeah.
But we won't. So Red Bulls, they are they the team to beat in the East? They now sit top of the Eastern Conference as it currently stands. New York Red Bulls, 7 games played, 14 points. I would answer your question in the notes as no. I would say that's probably Philly. And the only reason I would say that is because they've played less games and have 2 less points. So if Philly was to win that 7th game, then they would be 1 point higher than New York Red Bulls. So there's my bias showing, I guess. But the Red Bulls currently do sit top of the East, 14 points, as they beat Cincinnati on the road 2-1, which is pretty big. Pretty big result here for New York Red Bulls, who have kind of been better than expected, I would say. For in my case, I know a lot of people had them high up there. They've kind of floated all around here, though, didn't they? Like, they've been kind of top, but then middle, you know, and then they had like a bad loss to what, the Crew, I believe it was. And then boom, all of a sudden I look at the standings and they're top of the Eastern Conference. It's kind of mind-boggling, but it's been what we've been kind of calling for the Red Bulls. You know, go get some players, bring this up. They get Forsberg. He leaves his entire family to come over here and play for the Red Bulls. And, you know, that is kind of what you wanted as a Red Bull fan of, all right, put a little bit more investment in this. Get us a player that can change the dynamic of the team. They sit top of the East now. It's pretty cool. If you're a Red Bull fan, it's pretty cool. Cincinnati, which was top for so long at this year, have fallen down to 5th. Now, of course, the gap between 5th to 1st is 2 points. So there's a lot that's going to change throughout the course of this Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and the reason why I think, and Red Bull were, I think they were talking about it, after which I think it was the wrap up that they said that they were favorites. And I agree with you. I think the Union are the favorites right now, just because they haven't lost. They've also played in another tournament while also staying competitive and doing what they need to do. And I will say the Union have now, I feel like Jordan have figured out a system that works, and Carranza scoring late goals. Gazdag seems to be playing pretty well. Their defense is now starting to figure it out. I think that once Blake is healthy 100%, like, I think that's a big game changer. You forget often, I think, people that don't watch this team play, how good Andre Blake is. And when Andre Blake's not back there, you know, I think that that's been, you know, kind of a cause for concern, but they've managed and weathered the storm really well. Their young kids are starting to play well. I think the Quinn Sullivan pass, Jordan, to Carranza, who had, it was probably one of the best assists I've ever seen and one of the best finishes I've ever seen. Because Quinn's like falling down and he's like, he somehow gets it perfectly, like a Balotelli kind of thing to Aguero thing. And then Carranza almost like dips it with his outside of his foot, like to get it to kind of bend the way it does. And it was a beautiful goal, but I really don't like, if they play like that and Carranza is scoring like that, this team is again one of those teams that's almost hard, you know, impossible to beat, because their defense is going to figure it out. Like, we knew that was going to happen. Their defense is just so stable in what they do. Once Blake's back, again, I think that this Union team right now, they have not been beaten. I think they are the strongest team if you're looking at the Eastern Conference. The Red Bull are good, but I do think that there are holes in the Red Bull that I don't think figure themselves out like the Union do.
And this will change throughout the season.
It will,
right? Like,
yeah.
I don't want people to think we're like saying, like, we're talking about where we currently stand, because last year at this time, nobody had Columbus winning MLS Cup. At this point, they were still figuring their stuff out, you know, at that point. So these teams can come out nowhere. They can fix the issue. They can get this stuff going. But when we're talking about top of the Eastern Conference standings, I would put Philly in that spot right now. Now that can change again. Like I said, like, it's New York can rattle off some big wins or something, but Philly so far, like you said, unbeaten is a huge aspect of that. And then, turning that losing 1-0 turning that around to a 2-1 victory in Nashville was a pretty big step for this team, I think, to be like, all right, look, like you said, we're out of CCC. We've done that. We're all getting healthy. We're all starting to figure this out. We're playing better soccer now. And then they kind of turned it on, which is great if you're a Philadelphia Union fan. Nashville fans are probably really bummed because they have not been living up to any sort of standard of what they usually had. They're in 12th place with 7 points right now.
And another thing on the Red Bull front, like I do feel like they're in Emil Forsberg absence or Lewis Morgan absence to being.
Yes. Morgan is really, so instrumental to them. Yeah. And we saw that last year when he got injured and then he just barely made the playoffs.
Yeah. I really do. I feel like, and people are going to argue, they're going to say, well, Van Zier is playing better, but he's not. I don't think that's going to prove to be consistent enough. And then they're going to be like, well, they beat Cincinnati and Miami. What do you think of that? I was like, well, they beat Miami without Messi in the freezing cold temperatures and the rain. So that wasn't really, and they're going to say, well, we did it without Forsberg. Well, when Forsberg was gone against Orlando, they didn't look the same. Like they just don't, those two are so instrumental where if something happened to like Gazdag, I'd have more confidence that the Union could figure something out. Like I really do. They've got more of a connected. If Carranza went down, then maybe you have a point. But I guess
I would be worried if one of them.
But
especially Carranza.
Right. But ultimately, I think the Union are better equipped. I don't think New York Red Bull are as deep as the Philadelphia, and that's tough in MLS.
Yeah, so New York Red Bulls beat Cincy. What are we worried about Cincy at all? Because I felt like we were.
I think so.
I think people were kind of down on them going into the season because we were all high on Columbus. Yeah. Then they rose to top of the East for a couple weeks, and then now they've fallen as far as fifth. To be honest, I'm not really that worried about them. I mean, it is like I think that could be something that we have to look back in the. At the end of the season and be like, was this Red Bull loss a good loss for them in the sense of, you know, if Red Bulls for whatever reason end up finishing out of the playoffs and you'd be like, oh man, they lost to Red Bull in week 8. But if Red Bulls finish top of the East and you're like, okay, like that made sense that they lost to the Red Bull, right? Like sometimes you can only look at it with the hindsight at the end of the season. But I'm not worried about Cincy, but are because they're still only 2 points off, but are you worried at all about them going forward?
I think defensively they're fine. I think attacking-wise they're not fine. And this was a concern that we had, and we've talked to Justin about this when we were previewing Cincinnati this year. He had concerns that there was going to be a regression in the attacking front because, you know, when you lose guys like Brandon Vasquez, right, when you lose a guy like Brenner – where do you look? And if Bupenza is going to be that guy up front, he's got to start to play like that. And he's got moments with injury. He's got moments with attitude. He's got moments with off the field stuff. Like the guy's all over the place and he's kind of hard to pinpoint. And you have to have consistency up front in this league. If you don't have a top goal scorer in this league, you cannot be one of the top teams in this league. It's just how that shakes out. Like you have to have somebody that is either creating a ton of goals we're scoring a ton of goals. And I'm not sure that Cincinnati has that right now. When Barrial left, there was major concern that there was just not going to be enough in the attacking front. And I think that's proven pretty costly for Cincinnati. They've got the reigning MVP and Lucio Acosta, who I think Jordan is the answer, but he needs somebody else to play with. Like he needs somebody that's going to be a consistent front. Corey Baird's not it. Like he was never it. He's a nice depth piece. I think he could perform better because he has Lucho in past years than he has. But again, that's where my concern is. They'll defend fine. Like they've got one of the best defenses, I think, in the league. Just because I think adding Miles Robinson is such an anchor to an already defense that was getting better and improving each day. So, I think my concerns are more in the attacking front. Can they find goals? If they can't find goals and somebody to score them, I think they're in a little bit of trouble.
Interesting thoughts. We'll see how it plays out for Cincinnati. Really, if you're in the top 8 right now of the Eastern Conference, you have a really good shot of being in that top 4.
Yep.
DC is in 8th with 10 points. Like that's 2 points away from being in the top four. It's a victory. Win one game and you're dancing with second place right now. You know, if everybody else doesn't win that game. So pretty big, you know, we're still so early that we're seeing these small gaps right now between teams. Like it's the same over in the West, you know. Over in the West is the same here with ninth place is 9 points and top is 13. So about a 4 point difference there.
Do you find it weird that there's not like a heavy favorite yet? Like, do you find it weird that there's not a team that you directly look at and go, that team is playing? Because it just doesn't feel like there is that team. Like, besides maybe Vancouver and Philly. Like,
I feel like that's how it always goes, though. I feel like we're always around this point of the season, like, dancing around, like,
CCC and injuries.
Like, who's legit, who's not? Like, I feel like this is where you'll sometimes get some weird takes that turn out to be really, really weird at the end of the season. You're like, oh, remember when we thought like this team was still good or something?
Right. Remember when Toronto was sitting seventh in the Eastern Conference and now they're at the bottom of the table because Insigne's gone?
Yeah, like I really wish I could like. Okay, so we title these episodes in a certain way. So let me go back and kind of see about like match day eight, like last year. I want to see if there was like what type of takes we were putting out there at that point, you know, to have these episodes titled. Because I do think that is interesting. Like, if I go, let's look at playlists and go to 2023 weekly wrap ups. Match day eight, we said St. Louis are real.
Yeah, okay. They were off to that really good start.
The Revs on top. So the Revs were on top of the East.
But I guess I will
around
say
match day eight.
They played really well until Bruce left.
Yeah.
They were on the top teams in the East.
So that's kind of where we were at last year with some of that stuff.
So I mean, St. Louis ended up being top of the West. But to like I said, if you win five games straight, there's a good chance you're going to finish at the top of of a conference. 15 points out of 15 points is absolutely insane. That just doesn't happen. So, but again, like I think teams are catching up. I think you got injuries, you got systems, you got new systems, you got new players, you've got all these things. I think this is Philly's time to really, you know what I mean? Like if you're one of those teams that have played together, like if you're a Columbus or a Cincinnati or a Philly.
Since he was on top in match day six, so like 2 weeks later, the Revs were on top. Okay, how about this, though? If I was to ask you this question, not to get too far off topic, though, but in our first 8 weeks of videos from last year, how many of those had St. Louis in the thumbnail?
I'm going to say we probably went through 9. Of the first 10.
Well, I said 8. How many out of the first 8?
Out of 8?
Yeah.
7.
4. 4. I thought that was a lot. But yeah, we were going hard in the St. Louis. Yeah, until you said 7. I was like, all right, whoa. Okay.
I didn't hear you at first because you like broke up and I was like, I don't know what number you said. So I'm just going to guess.
But yeah, so... Like I said, this stuff can really change as we continue to go through. I'm sure everybody knows that from, you know, just if you follow MLS. But if this is your first season following MLS or anything, like we just kind of like to stress that there is no guarantees with this stuff. We might be looking back in October and be like, well, after that bad stretch the Red Bull went through, they finished 6th in the East, and you know what? Right now. That's still conceivable because 6 in the East is only 4 points off of what Red Bull are, right? Like eventually these will start growing, these point differences. But I think this point in the season, we're especially the East, where I feel like we're pretty safe to never have like it wrapped up. The West was a different story last year with just how surprising St. Louis was and the fact that they actually hung on. I feel like a lot of teams don't do that. Now I kind of want to go back to like 2022 at some point after the show and be like, okay, what were our episodes about, like match day 8 in 2022? Like, who was good, who wasn't? How did that finish? Okay, so next headline that we're going to talk about, Chucho. He comes back from like, what, 2 weeks missing? A week and a half, whatever it was. It was like a game and then the CCC or something. He missed. They played DC. They drew 1-1. There was a red card in this match as
he was
yeah, Chucho was the red card for violent conduct when he kicked at Christopher McVay after being fouled. So now he's going to get another little vacation here. He's going to get another game off here when they go to RSL.
Gotta go get his stuff wherever it was.
So yeah, 2-game suspension for violating a team policy. Comes back. It's immediate red card. Nancy talked him up though. So it seems like all that stuff is water under the bridge. So I think we can leave that behind. If he had missed this game, I was going to come on here and start talking about like, what are we doing? And I do. I will still say, what are we doing?
It's
like,
weird.
When it comes to, like, I understand if you need to discipline a player, but anytime that question came up, Nancy would just be like, not talking about it. Blah, 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 nope. And just, he know what he did or whatever. And you're like, okay, well, how long is he out? Up to him. And you're like, all right. Well, can you just tell us so that way, like, the fans deserve to know if he's suspended, if he did something terrible, just tell us, like, suspended indefinitely. I think the questions when it just comes to, we're not really going to talk about it, is very, very weird.
And I don't know the protocol in a locker room, but they had removed his nameplate from his locker. Like that's weird. That's strange. Like you don't do that. And that's odd to me. And to post pictures on social of an empty locker that was clearly his, odd, but it sounded like you said, Jordan, it sounded like Nance was, I mean, and then I wanted to ask you this though. And a lot of the guys said it and Question actually said it of Bradley Wright Phillips. And he said it in a joking way, but he also said that that was a thing that superstar players get superstar treatment where they can do some of this stuff. And then, you know, that they go by different rules. And I was thinking about it. And I was like, that was never the case. Like we would police that internally. Like when I played sports, like, if you were the best player, you didn't get special treatment because you're the best player, at least internally. Like that was never a that was such a toxic idea. Like everybody's treated the same, no matter who you are. Like, so I had some concerns about that one. I was like, are there guys in the league that think that? Obviously there are. I think he's one of them. Kucho's one of them, but I don't know. Like it was interesting, but I hope it's good, Jordan, because he's so much fun to watch. He's one of the best players in this league. So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, what results from this, because they need him. They definitely need him. I feel like they could be top if he had been playing and been, you know, scoring goals for them. And, you know, he's going to miss another game now with the red card. So we'll see how it plays out for them. We already talked enough about the Union. We can skip the next headline here. How about Seattle? This is a game Seattle needed, man. This is a 5-0 victory. This is something that they sorely needed. It puts them, it's their first victory. They jump from last in the West to 12th, and now they're actually within 4 points of the playoffs. They can turn this thing around if they start playing like this every week. They won't, though. They won't play like this every week. But, you know, Montreal, we were kind of high on at a certain point at the beginning. They were playing pretty well. Here comes Seattle, smashing 5 goals past them.
Montreal finally get out of their 5 straight games on the road. I'd forgot they were still playing on the road in this one, too. 5 straight on the road, that's brutal. And they've collected some decent points out of it. And Jordan, I thought it was going to get better. Like, I really did. I thought that, you know, it was, I thought that, like, they were playing better and this was going to be a better result, is what I meant to say. But Seattle took no mercy and This is the game Seattle needed, because they were sitting at the bottom of the Western Conference, which is not good, obviously, but not the norm either for Schmetzer and the gang. So to get this win 5-0, I think, Jordan, puts you back into the confidence that you have at the beginning of the year, where it's like, all right, we're back on track. We're scoring goals. We beat a team that's played okay. So now they'll continue to go forward. And I think Seattle's fine. I think they'll make the playoffs still, but we'll see. Rusnak came back, was big. Jordan Morris looked pretty good. So I think all right in Seattle.
Yeah, they needed that for sure. I was happy to see that for Seattle. They needed to show some life. Really needed to show some life. I mean, Jesus, Austin's ahead of them. They needed to show some life. Okay, Vancouver, they beat Toronto 4-0. Vancouver has been the team that I think we've both been the most impressed with at the beginning of this season. They've been so good. They've only played 6 games. They have 13 points. That's the best points per game in MLS, 2.17. Even above the Eastern Conference teams, which have 2 points per game, because they've played one less than the Red Bulls. So pretty great start for Vancouver. And then Toronto has been a team that we were surprised with at the beginning of the season. They've kind of fallen backwards a bit, but they still sit 7th. They have 10 points. They're only 4 off of the top, but guess what? Vancouver said, that doesn't matter to us. We're going to put 4 past you, and we're just going to keep reigning supreme right now in the West. How impressive is this Vancouver team?
Yeah, I think quite a bit of people started to pick Vancouver to do well, Jordan, but look at us. Look at us. 4 for me, and guess what? 4 for you. Ooh. So we were on the Vancouver train headed to, I don't know where, but the mountaintop with Vancouver. But yeah, they've been really good. And I think, Jordan, we were on the bandwagon big time right away when they played against Tigres in Vancouver. I thought they looked extremely dangerous. We knew that they could do things in the attack. And I think their biggest thing was trying to figure out, okay, what can we do defensively to kind of shore up the back and not allow as many goals? Because I think in the Western Conference, there's a lot of teams that can score goals. Jordan, they've only given up 6 goals. So they've really, I mean, they've got one of the best keepers. And so, it really is. And I think goes underrated just how good this Vancouver Whitecaps team is. Like, I think when you're looking at a team and you don't really know much about them because of where they play and the time zones in which they play, they're usually one of the later games, tend to not pay attention to them as much. But like, when you've got Brian White, when you've got Gold, like you've got an attacking front that I think is one of the more exciting ones. And we knew that coming into the season that they were going to have one of the best attacking fronts in the whole league. And it's proven to be a fact. And I think that's been really exciting to watch Vancouver just because of how good they've been. But Takakau, I don't know how to say the goalkeeper's name, but he's one of my favorites. I should probably learn how to say it, but so good. I don't know. They've been really impressive. And I think you and I were on the bandwagon before everybody else.
I'll take that. Yeah. I'll take the praise there. But I'll say you were on the bandwagon first, because I think I adjusted that after we had did our preview for them. But when we did our preview for them, you were already talking them up. So I just want to give Logan some props there for having Vancouver be good. So there was this very interesting storyline with New England, right? Where they were like, we're going to beat Charlotte. Bet on it. We're going to beat them. Right? He said, we're going to win Saturday. I promise that. That's what Caleb Porter said. And Charlotte's FC's head coach, Dean Smith, said he shouldn't make promises he might not be able to keep. But they won. The Revolution won. Porter, after the win, right? Is that what this quote is here? I used the wrong word and it was totally out of context. I told Dean that before the game. I would never promise a win or disrespect their team or coach. That's not what I'm about. I want to know the context then, because he said, we're going to win Saturday. I promise that.
I believe it was Bogert that got the quote, and it was literally that. He said that exact thing. So, right. Like, yeah, so like context? there's no context. I think the context was like, we need to play better. So I guarantee, I think what he's speaking of is more of like, I was promising our fans, you need a win and we're going to, but like to promise a win, that's like the thing on Madden or FIFA that you do that makes everybody mad in the locker room.
Yeah. Like in the pregame thing, yeah. Fire like, the uh-oh. Team up.
You don't want bulletin material. And I know I think Charlotte's the context, not the best team, but
I think the context was, oh crap, I shouldn't have said that because it came across wrong. Let me tell him I didn't mean it.
Yeah. Let me say I'm sorry, but let's go beat him instead.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, they did win. And they talk about a team that needed that, right? Like Seattle needed it, but I also felt like Seattle needed a thumping. That was huge. I think Revs would have needed a thumping, but they're like, hey, we got our first win. And they still sit bottom. So they needed it, but they probably, I think, needed to put up a little bit more to really feel good, I think. And they didn't. All right. Some other results that happened, of course, we mentioned Chicago. They are back. They beat Houston 2-1. That's a pretty good result against... against Ben Olsen's Houston Dynamo. Austin had a hell of a match against San Jose, 4-3 finish. And like I said, they're now in a playoff spot. NYCFC won Atlanta 1. We'll see what happens there, but that was at Citi Field. Minnesota won and RSL won. And Minnesota, of course, earning a late draw with another late goal, as they are one to do. St. Louis and Dallas said, no goals for us, please. There's been enough in all the other matches. And then Sunday Sporting Kansas City had a 3-0 lead at halftime. And I was like, whoa, Portland is falling off the rails. And then Portland said, Jordan, lift your jaw back in place. We are going to make you lower it again. We're going to equalize this game 3-3. And they did. And my jaw did drop again. I was like, oh my God, Portland drew this game. And actually the real momentum shift is the penalty miss at 3-0 to go up 4-0. I think at that point, the other team starts packing in a little bit. Like, all right, we can't get to 4-3. Portland said, we can do 3. And Phil Neville said his halftime speech was pretty much are you guys actually Portland players, or do you want to be Portland players? And they went out.
It's a good halftime speech. Yeah. I'm going to take my ball and we're going to go home. It's probably the best method you could do. But no,
it was more like, I'm going to take my ball and I'm going to leave you guys all here. And there's going to be new Timber players next game.
There are a lot of teams out there, Jordan, where they are playing with the remnants of the regime prior, which is never a good mix. And you could just go down the list and name a ton of them. But a lot of coaches, Jordan, playing without guys that fit their system.
Really bad for Kansas City. Really bad horrible. For Kansas City. Horrible. They still fit 7th, though. They have 10 points, which is not bad. Considering 10 points, like this time last year, they'd kill for 10 points.
Yeah,
they hadn't had a win yet at that point. But man, when you have a lead like that in front of national TV, Sunday game, everybody's watching. I think it was free on Apple. It was on Fox. Yikes. And, Portland sit in 10th with 8 points. Right, this is a Portland team that started off the season hot in the first game or two. They now sit outside of a playoff spot. It seemed to have come to a head at halftime this Sunday of, look, it's either the wheels are coming off of this thing, or you guys have to go out there and prove yourself right now. They proved themselves on Sunday to get the draw, but what's next? Did they rebound a bit more, you think, next game, or is it... What, like, my main question is, that halftime speech good enough to carry over and get them going forward? And at some point you have to do more than just speeches, but that's my question to you.
Yeah. Here's a fun stretch of games. They have Portland against LAFC. That is at Providence. That's the next match.
That's Saturday. Yeah.
They then head to Lower.com Field against Columbus. Which all these teams are out of CCC that are in CCC right now.
Chucho will be back. Yeah,
Chucho will be back. So you got Columbus, and then you go to LAFC, so you get to visit LAFC again, and then you have to go to Charlotte, and Charlotte's pretty decent at home. Then you have to play in the Cascadia Cup, and you got to play Seattle. So it's not going to get any easier, Jordan. And honestly, like the West can be. West can be kind of brutal to play through sometimes because I think there's teams that are so unpredictable. And again, over the next five games, I only see them possibly winning one of those games, and that might be Charlotte. I don't see them winning against any. I think Seattle's.
I guarantee that one. Actually, I promise.
don't.
I promise Portland wins that game.
Yeah, that's disrespectful to Charlotte, Jordan. I called it on Twitter. For all the Portland fans that are still listening.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the deal is. I'm not
it's as Phil well Neville. Versed in
what's going on. You think it is just purely Phil Neville?
Yes, he
Phil
can't
Neville?
Defend. It's 14, giving up 14 goals. They were pretty bad last
goals.
Year.
Yeah, that's giving the most, isn't goals. It?
No, San Jose.
San Jose is the most.
Yeah, but they're Damn. Second. They're second or tied second for second. Most. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they can't defend. And ultimately, I just don't think – Phil Neville doesn't know how to make an adjustment to what's going on, I don't think. Like, I don't think he knows. When it's in free fall, he's just like, uh-oh, it's falling. The sky's falling, and I don't know what to do about it. So, we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've always felt that way about Phil Neville. Seems like whenever Miami's ceiling was coming down, he was ready there just to take it on the head.
Yeah, well, he got enough out of them for the point, but, I mean, they have two wins. One of those was game one. Shot game. Now Colorado's above them.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's kind of where we're at. Even Alston's above them. And I'll keep saying that until Alston really proves it to me that they deserve to be there. Most of these teams have two wins. And by most, I mean four. So that's not most. But, you know, like two or more wins, I guess. There's no more teams that have no wins now that the Revs have won.
But the conferences are wide open. Like
they are. I love this. I love it's open, right? Like you talk about it all the time when you're talking to Matt, like how there are no
it's parody,
like, dude. Of course we have our ideas on who good teams are. Like yeah. I think if you would ask me preseason, Montreal and Seattle, who wins? I would have said Seattle's gonna win that game. And they did 5-0. Great. That made me look smart, right? But last week, I probably would have been like, ooh, Montreal is going to win that game. But it changes because of the parity of the league, obviously. But it's also just, for the West specifically, is just the wild, wild West, I guess you could say. Because it really feels like nobody's locked it down. The teams that were supposed to be good going in, we had LAFC, Seattle. Right, those were the typical ones. People were high on Galaxy. I was higher on Galaxy than you are, so shove it. And, you know, and Vancouver we were high on. And two of those have been really good, LA Galaxy and Vancouver. LAFC's disappointed me, honestly, right now. But they'll be able to, like, I'm sure they'll have a ho-hum season and finish top four, and then they'll make it to MLS Cup Final or something. You're like, oh. Another good season from Trundolo's men. It is a very weird league, but I love this early in the league not being like, ooh, we're already out of the title race. Unless you're New England.
Yeah.
And San Jose.
Gosh, that was an absolute haymaker you just threw as a stray. Orlando's out of it too, if you're gonna throw New England in there.
Yeah, they are too, I would say.
Yeah, they'll try to get the playoffs, but man, they look awful. NYCFC.
I think they can make playoffs. I just don't think that they have no shot of being top of the East.
No way.
They're 9 points back already.
Yeah, there's no way.
That's three wins.
Yeah. That would be like
one win.
Yeah. It'd be like right now saying Seattle could win the West. There's no way. There's just no way.
Yeah, no, they can't at this point. It would take a lot of drop off.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you're like, all right, make the wild card.
Yeah, you could still
Dallas
make top four.
Disappointing. Now, of course, Dallas had the injury issues. So,
Yeah, they'll continue,
it's not,
though.
It's not all on that. Right. But yeah, they're not going to be, they're not going to be good.
I think this, Jordan, this might be the year we just get an absolute bonkers standings of, I'm all for it.
I hope so. Could you imagine, like, Supporter Shield winner is Vancouver?
Yeah, I know, right? That's cool.
They don't have one. That'd be cool.
No, of course they don't have one.
Right. That'd, I mean, it took them a while to even make the playoffs at some point. So
shit,
that,
they didn't even know they had a team there for a long time. They're like, oh, that's, okay, cool.
And then, I was going to say Red Bulls at first, but Red Bulls have one Supporter Shield, so I'm like, yeah, I can actually believe that.
Yeah, but they feel like a new team. Like, they've been so bad lately, they feel like a new team.
And then, like, Miami's not out of it. Now, the thing with Miami, they have two games that they've played extra, and they are 12 points.
Yeah.
So, and they've played one extra compared to some of the teams below them. So,
they
some
give
of the
up
teams
a ton of goals.
One to two games in hand. And we'll see how it goes from there.
All you have to do, Jordan, is defend. So your Union are solid.
Yeah, they've finally figured that out because they had a rough beginning with giving up goals.
Mm-hmm.
That Chicago game was like 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
That's two out of their seven goals was like that Chicago game.
Yeah. Oh, and then there was another game where the games were awful. Like, the Saprissa games were a joke. Like, they just ran all over you.
That luckily doesn't affect the
right.
The,
but still, I mean, your defense is still going, oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what else was another? You know, it's funny that Seattle game got rescheduled to the 30th, which is the week that you are gone. You, like, the week after you come up. So I'm going to try to go up there. It's a Tuesday night game, I think.
Yeah.
So my plan is to go up there on Tuesday. We'll see.
Oh, you had a 2-2 game with Austin, too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So that's four of the seven goals. That's more than half.
Yeah. Saprissa scored five on you.
Yeah, that's more.
So, yeah, it probably felt. And then Pachuca had that sixer, that six on you.
Yeah.
It probably felt,
it felt like
year
we were giving up. It felt like we were giving up a lot. Yeah.
Guys were like just getting ready to practice their goal celebrations against the Union. Not anymore, though. Solid. Especially against Minnesota. Just slam the door on them. They've been really
hell good. Yeah. All right. So top of the East, of course, is New York, Philly, Miami, Columbus, Cincy, Atlanta, Toronto, DC, Charlotte. Those are your playoff teams. Bottom of that is Chicago, Montreal, Nashville, NYCFC, Orlando, and New England. NYCFC. Hanging around that bottom. They've been disappointing the last 2 years. Okay, Western Conference. Vancouver sits top. LA Galaxy, Salt Lake, Minnesota. LAFC, Houston, SKC. I almost said KFC. Austin, Colorado. Those are your playoff teams. Portland, St. Louis, Seattle, Dallas, San Jose are the teams out of the playoff spot. Like, St. Louis needs to turn it on. They have not been good this year. Okay, we had some Open Cup matches last week, so I will just briefly go over that. Richmond Kickers destroyed my Maryland Bobcats 5-2. Charlotte Independence won on penalty kicks over South Carolina United Heat. NYCFC 2 beat New York Red Bulls 2 in the Open Cup. Lubbock Matadors beat 4-0 SC. Michigan Stars moved on past Minnesota United FC 2. And El Farolito beat Central Valley Fuego. In the Champions Cup, Columbus and Tigres drew 1-1. Pretty decent result for them there, but I believe Columbus got some red cards in that match. Club America beat New England 4-0. Not great for leg one there. That was a home game for New England. And let's see. We had Monterey beat Miami 2-1. Everybody in Philly is rooting for Monterey to win the whole thing because then Union get in the Club World Cup. Miami United beat Club de Leon 2-0. And then they went and beforehand gambled on that. So we'll see what happens with that. Greenville beat Knoxville 3-2. South Georgia Tormenta beat Savannah Clovers. Carolina beat Vermont Green. Chattanooga beat Apotheos. Chicago Fire 2 beat Madison. Omaha beat Des Moines Menace. That had Sasha Cleston playing for them again, and Omaha moved on. Northern Colorado Hailstorm FC beat Colorado Rapids. And Spokane Velocity beat LA Force. Irvine Zeta FC beat Ventura County. Okay. Coming up this week, tomorrow, April 9th, Tigres and Columbus Leg 2. Club America and New England Leg 2. Those are at 8:15 and 10:30. Then Wednesday, we have Pachuca Herediano Leg 2 and Monterrey Miami Leg 2. That's at 10:30, the Miami match. All right, time for us to pick our match of the week. This Saturday, we have games starting at 4:45. Portland Timbers going up against LAFC. That is free on Apple TV and on Fox. Then we have the 7:30 slate. Charlotte versus Toronto. DC versus Orlando. Montreal versus Cincinnati. New York Red Bull facing Chicago. NYCFC facing New England. That one is at the other baseball stadium, Yankee Stadium. We have the 8:30 matches. Dallas and Seattle. SKC Miami. Minnesota, Houston. Then we have a 9:30 match, RSL Columbus. Then we have 10:30 matches, San Jose, Colorado, Vancouver versus LA Galaxy. Sunday, April 14th, Atlanta, Philly at 2:30. That's free and on Fox. And then St. Louis, Austin at 4:45 on Sunday. That is also free on Apple TV and also on Fox. My match of the week, I'm going to take it before you can. I'm going to go Vancouver, LA Galaxy.
Figured.
Battle of the top of the West.
Figured. No, I which is good, because I was doing, I figured you're going to do that, so I was doing some research. I'm going to go with the Atlanta and Philadelphia game. Atlanta is unbeaten at home, Mercedes-Benz. Philadelphia Union haven't lost yet on the road. They've gone into a Geodis Park and beat Nashville. They've gone into Providence Park and beat Portland. They've drawn with Austin at Q2. They've drawn with Sporting Kansas City at Children's Mercy, so the road doesn't scare the Philadelphia Union. Yakimaki's had a bone bruise, and I don't know if he'll be back. If he's not back, I like the Union's chances a ton. If he is back, I still like the Union's chances. They're playing a Atlanta team that sits sixth in the Eastern Conference, but this is a big game for Atlanta. If they want to be a top team in the Eastern Conference, these are the games they've got to win against a Philadelphia team that hasn't lost yet. So really, really excited about this game. I think it has the makings of like a 1-0, because I've overhyped it enough. But I feel like, you know, they've got a lot of firepower. It could be a bonkers game, but I feel like it'll be end-to-end. It'll be competitive. Those are two really physical teams. I feel like they don't like each other from past CCC experiences that they've had, where they've gotten into a couple of little shuffles. If Jose Martinez is out there, you're always going to have a physical match. And so we'll see how it goes. But I'm really excited about the Union game. So I'm glad that you took the Vancouver match, because that was a lot of fun to kind of read into a little bit.
Yeah. I like when you pick my team as a match of the week.
There's not other good matches this week. Like, there's some.
Well, it also makes me feel good that I'm not, like, being the biased one as well,
yeah,
you know?
That's fine, yeah. No, I think the Union they're one of the toughest teams to beat, so we'll see how it goes with Atlanta. Because Atlanta wants to prove they're a big-time contender, then here you go.
Yeah, I mean, they're a team that I felt like I was very excited to see this season. Mm-hmm, and they've been okay. They've been okay. 3 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw. I mean, it's not terrible. It's not great. It's 10 points.
They've scored.
They're very close to – it's only 2 points better than the Union. You know what I'm saying? 2 points worse than the Union. So, I mean, it's – and they've got good trajectory.
They've got a game on hand, or game in hand on Cincinnati, Columbus, 2 with Miami, and 1 on the Red Bull. And Union are the only ones equal with them, 6 matches played. So these are two, Jordan, arguably, these are two teams that could technically be sitting on top of the Eastern Conference if they play their matches in hand.
Yeah. All right. Well, that will wrap us up here on the Stateside Soccer Show. So next week is a normal week for us. So is the following week. Okay. The 29th, I'm assuming you're going to be good to go to record that day, but you get back the 28th mm-hmm. from your trip.
Yep.
So Logan will be up here. We'll be going to the RSL Philadelphia Union game on Saturday, the 27th. That's actually the next Union home game as it stands. But we're going to be going as fans, like sitting in the stands. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've never been to a sporting event with Logan before. Somehow.
Yeah, it is weird.
We went to the winter meetings. That was it.
We did.
But yeah, so I'm really excited to have you up here and show you Subaru Park and be walking around this beautiful stadium that sits right behind me as we record.
I forget you have the key. We can just go.
Yeah, yeah, it's right here. I always put the sign Tail and Energy Stadium back up here, though.
I was sure Subaru loves that.
I'm like, that's what I remember. But no, yeah, I'm really excited for that. So I don't know. Maybe we'll post something on TikTok if it's not banned yet at that point. So keep an eye out for some sort of fun thing there. But yeah, looking forward to it. You can follow us at Stateside Show on all of our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, all that good stuff. And you can email us statesideshow@gmail.com, just like Andrew did, to tell us the Fire are back. Send us a message letting us know your team is back, if they are back. If they're not back, say it's over. Or it's Joe. Whatever you want to tell us.
You want to look into the sun. If you want to do that, tell us that. If you look into the sun, don't watch your own team anymore.
Yeah, luckily they had glasses at my work. I was able to actually see the eclipse. It was right after my meeting. So that worked out all perfect timing for me today. But yeah, so reach out to us there. Like and subscribe to us on the YouTube channel. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll catch you next time when we talk Match Day 9.